Hi, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church, our expression of church this morning. And you're welcome here, whether there's joy in your heart or whether there's sadness, whether there's fear or depression, anxiety or worry, we gather together to acknowledge that our God is bigger than us and our response to his love for this world is that we worship, whether our heads or our hearts or our minds are where we want them to be, we come and gather as community, as church. So welcome, whether you're watching us live this morning or whether you watch us later on in the week, thank you for joining us. And it's great to be part of a loving fellowship and a caring fellowship. So please, as we gather for this half an hour or so, I pray that God might speak to you and through you. Diana Parr will be bringing God's word to us later in the service, and Sarah is going to be leading our song worship. If you have a prayer request, I'll try my best to gather them all in at the end of the service, and please do write in the comments if you do have a prayer request, and we'd love this as a way just to pull everything together towards the end of our service. If you've got young ones with you, there's some sheets to download from the website. Please do get in the habit of getting them. It's connected to our little kids talk this morning, so please do have that ready for you. And we'd love to have a cup of coffee with you after the service, so please hang around, join us on Zoom. It's normally the regulars, but if you're not regular to it, please do come along. We just have a couple of short chats together. There's no pressure, just a little conversation. It lasts about half an hour or so, so please do join us on Zoom. This evening, Bismarck will be hosting our final prayer meeting before we break up for the summer. I just want to say a big thank you to Bismarck. I've really appreciated his ministry over these number of months. It's great to have him leading in this area of our church life. And this evening, we'll be praying for our small group leaders and our small groups. An opportunity just to be thankful and pray for that group of leaders who have been able to keep the church little groups together, and we appreciate them very much, and a chance just to pray for our small groups over this summer. The second session of our little reflective videos, A Place to Be Still, hosted by Diana and led by Suzanne Watt, is on our website. So there's two there now, and I don't normally go a lot on statistics, but it's the most downloaded video we've had on our website, and more than this service. So if you want to have a look at that, it's just a 20-25 minute reflection, and I'm really grateful for Diana and Suzanne for leading us in those times. So do please have a look, and thank you both for putting them together. Well, we're blessed to have a number of great musicians in our church, and Sarah's going to open our time of song worship this morning. Thank you, Sarah.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Sorry, I got a little distracted by myself there. Thank you, Sarah, for opening our service. I had a really exciting opportunity to go and meet with Lou and Joel and do a little video. This is the second take. The first one I did, unfortunately, and the sound didn't work. So if we're a little bit jaded, it's because we've already had all these conversations before and we went to do them again. So thank you, Lou and Joel, and we're going to listen to that interview now. Welcome. It's lovely to have this opportunity to have a chat with Joel and Lou. And I think before we start talking, I think you've got some news that you'd like to share with the church.
Yeah, we do. Hello, everybody. We'd just really like to share our news with you that we're expecting a little brother or sister for Maya in January.
That's really exciting. And as a whole church, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's lovely that you could share the good news with us this morning. Now, as I wonder if you would share some of the biggest challenges you've faced over this lockdown period.
Yeah, so I think for me, one of the biggest challenges was trying to occupy a toddler at home inside, particularly in the first months of lockdown when the rules were quite strict about going out. I found that quite a long day sometimes, especially when I was used to being out and about quite a lot with Maya. So that was quite a challenge, and also just then not seeing other people, other parents and other children could feel quite difficult at times. Not having toddler groups, like little steps, was quite a challenge. And I think probably like everyone, not seeing family was quite difficult, not having any support at all in that way. And also for Maya, just not seeing her grandparents just felt quite sad that she wasn't seeing her family and sort of missing out on that time as well.
Yeah, and for me, those of you that don't know, I work in the A&E up at Addenbrookes, and so you can imagine the sort of challenges that went with dealing with a new disease that we didn't know anything about, and we were learning about it as we went along. And so that takes up a lot of sort of time and thought and energy trying to keep up to date with everything, the latest guidelines and the latest research. And added to that the kind of stress of never quite knowing if you're safe yourself, and healthcare workers being at greater risk, and not sure if you're sort of putting your family at risk through that. And I can imagine for those of my colleagues who are at greater risk for whatever reason, you know, sort of ethnic minority, for instance, that is even sort of more of a worry. You're never quite sure what you're bringing home. That seems to be starting to ease as we're moving into a bit more of a relaxation phase, and that's brilliant. And we can start to perhaps, you know, cautiously feel a bit more upbeat. And now, as we move into the summer, there's, I suppose, just the challenge of where it goes next.
Well, thank you both for sharing those challenges. And I mean, it's important we acknowledge the difficult times, but it's also, as a church, we've been thinking a lot about what we can be thankful for. So what's been some of the blessings that you've felt over this time?
Well, we've certainly been really grateful that we have actually stayed safe as a family. We've not had any symptoms, and we've not had to we've not had to shield or anything like that. So we've been really grateful for that, and also just for the family time that we've been able to have when Joel's not been at work. And despite us being a bit worried about Maya and sort of new things she's had to adapt to, actually she's been very happy, and it's just been a real pleasure to watch her sort of grow. We've also just felt really blessed by the support of friends and family and church, sort of phone calls and emails, the online church services and things like that. We felt really that people have really cared for us, which has just been we've been really grateful for.
And then again, from my kind of work point of view, Addenbrookes has always been just such a brilliant place to work, and probably everyone who lives around here knows of the sort of the reputation. And during this pandemic, it's really hit home how great the whole sort of leadership and management are there, and how well they've thought through things and really got into action early on to make sure that we're so well supported, and that our patients are so well looked after. And I think that has been fantastic. And it's been a lovely time to be an NHS worker in that sense, because the public have really got behind us, the church community have got behind us. I know people have been praying, we've had the prayer circle on the church door, and so many people have said they're thinking of us and thankful for what we're doing. And that has been a huge blessing to know that we've got that behind us.
Well, thank you for sharing the good news. Also, just giving us a window into what life's been like for both of you. We'd love for you to pray for the church this morning.
Okay. Lord, we just like to thank you that you are always there for us and that you have guided us through this time, and we can trust you to continue to guide us personally and the church as we continue in these quite uncertain times still. And we do just thank you for the opportunities that we've had to be able to reach out to the community, maybe in different ways over the past months. And we just pray that you would continue to support us in the church, support the leadership of the church, just to prayerfully consider how we move forward with church, what church might look like, and how we can just continue to reach out to people in our community as well in different ways in the future.
And Father, the last few months have been an anxious time for, I'm sure, everyone really. But we just particularly think of those who are particularly frightened, whether that's because they've been shielding and are feeling vulnerable through that and unsure what to do as the relaxations come in, whether it's those who I work with who are at the front line on the COVID wards or who have sort of reasons to be worried because they're particularly vulnerable to this virus. Or whether it's those whose jobs have been at risk, who have been furloughed or who are self-employed and not earning what they normally would, or who just don't know what the future holds financially. Lord, it must be such a frightening time to be in one of those positions. And just pray for your peace and your love for those people.
So Lord, we just lift up to you our church and our local community, and just pray for your continued guidance with local businesses and the people who we live near, our neighbours, for Shelford and the area around here, and for things like Cara Coffee reopening, that you would really just continue to be very close to us all and to guide us, that we would be able to really feel your presence in this time, Lord. And we just thank you for all the blessings that you do shower upon us, even in quite difficult times. Amen.
Amen. Thank you both. I appreciate you sharing your good news, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, what great news, and thank you, Lou and Joel, for sharing that with us this morning. Now, with Diana speaking in the service, we thought we'd give Clive the week off. And what we've done is we've got an opportunity to watch our friends at the Artless Theatre Company. If you remember, how long ago, a year or so ago, we had them coming to do a performance here, To War With God. And they do a Sunday school video every week. So I've used just a little bit of that. It's a puppet sketch. So we're just going to listen to that now.
Welcome to the Story Zone! As you know, I'm John, and this, if you don't know already, is Professor P. Uppit. What does the P stand for in your name, Professor?
Well, that stands for Puppet.
So your name is Professor Puppet Uppit?
Yes, Professor Puppet Uppit.
Well,
pleasure to meet you.
Well, what story do you have for me and everyone watching at home today, Professor?
Now, as you know, Jesus loved to tell stories.
Yes.
In fact, he told very special stories called parables.
Parables, eh?
Yes. Now, these were very extra special because they weren't only fantastic stories, but Jesus used them to teach us valuable lessons.
Ah, so maybe let's keep our ears peeled and see what lessons Jesus might be teaching us through this story.
So you ready?
Yes. The story we're about to read is featured in a book called The Bible. The Bible is an amazing collection of true stories and amazing letters written by people who know God. In fact, Christians believe it was written by God himself. You can read it for yourself, or you can get someone a bit older than you to help you read it as well.
Now, one day, Jesus was teaching the crowds how to live the way God wants us to live. He said that we must love God above everything, but also to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves.
Oh, our neighbours. So we have to love God and love the people that live next door. So Terry at number 7 and Mildred at number 9.
Well, yes and no. Not just our next door neighbour.
Oh.
He meant a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Now, someone else asked that question because they said, "Teacher, who is my neighbour?"
Terry and Mildred.
Well, in answer to that question, Jesus told this story.
Oh, a parable. So let's keep our ears peeled.
A man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Huh. Now, some robbers attacked him.
Oh, no.
They tore off his clothes, and they beat him, and they left him lying there, almost dead.
Professor Uppet, you very nearly beat me up then.
Oh, sorry, Jonathan.
That's okay, I forgive you.
Thank you. Now, it happened that a priest was going down that road.
Oh, phew.
And when the priest saw the man, did he help him?
Well, of course he did. Wouldn't you say so? He's a priest. He's a very good person, surely.
Well, you'd think so. But no, he didn't.
Oh, no.
He walked by the other side of the road. Now, next, a Levite, who was a priest's assistant...
Okay.
..came past the man. He went over and looked at the man. Yeah. Now, did he help him?
He must have seen the priest not help and thought, this is my job, I must help this person, because he must be a very nice person to work with the priest, surely.
Jonathan, you think so, but no, he didn't. He walked by on the other side of the road.
Oh, that's so mean.
Well, then, a Samaritan arrived.
And what's a Samaritan?
Well, a Samaritan was someone who was from a different place called Samaria. But you see, the people from Jerusalem and the people from Samaria were not friends.
Oh, no.
In fact, they were enemies.
Oh, no.
Now, this was the last person the man wanted to see.
Oh, he's been through enough.
I know. Exactly. But do you think the Samaritan helped him?
Oh, hopefully he just ignored him. He didn't kick him or anything.
Well, actually, you're wrong.
Huh?
He did help him.
Oh! Wow.
The Samaritan came to where the hurt man was lying. He saw the man and he felt sorry for him. The Samaritan went over to him and put medicine on his wounds and he bandaged them. But it didn't stop there. He put the hurt man on his own donkey.
Eeyore!
And he took him to a hotel.
Wow.
Now, at the hotel, the Samaritan took care of him. The next day, the Samaritan brought out 2 silver coins and gave them to the hotel manager. The Samaritan said, "Take care of this man. If you spend more money on him, I will pay it back to you when I come again."
Wow, what a very kind thing to do.
As he finished the parable, Jesus asked the crowd, "Who was a neighbor to the man who was beaten?" Now, what do you think they answered?
It must have been the Samaritan.
Yes, you're right. Someone said it was the Samaritan man who helped him. Then Jesus said, "Then go and do the same thing he did."
Oh, so that's what it means to love your neighbour. Ah, that's amazing.
Yes, exactly, Jonathan. So Jesus used the story of the Good Samaritan to show us to love not only our friends or people who look like us, but that we should show kindness to our friends, family, and even people who are mean to us.
Really? So everyone, basically?
Yes, you're right. The Bible tells us in a verse in John chapter 3, verse 16.
Oh, that's what we used in the craft zone a few weeks ago.
Yes. Do you remember it, Jonathan?
Well, could you read it to me, Professor, and read it to us?
Yes. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing, Jonathan?
So God showed us that love by giving us Jesus, so we should give that love to everyone else. Out of
exactly.
Gratitude. That's a good word, isn't it? To say thank you.
Now Jesus was the Son of God. And if we remember the story of Easter, we know that Jesus went on to die and to rise again to show God's perfect love for you and for me.
And for everyone.
Exactly. And how does it make you feel to know that God loves you enough to die for you?
It makes me feel amazing. It makes me feel so loved and cared for. How about you at home?
Then you should go out and spread that love with others. Now, I hope you enjoyed this week's story. I look forward to seeing you next week at the Story Zone!
Let's head off to the next zone.
Turn the volume off. Well, thank you, and I'll leave you to pass judgment and compare it to Diana and Clive, but we do appreciate Diana and Clive, but it's nice to give Clive a little bit of a week off. Now, Diana is going to share God's word with us this morning, so we're going to listen to this that she recorded earlier this week. Thank you, Diana.
Hello, everyone. I'm just going to read a few verses from Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verses 2 to 5. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. I wonder what your experiences of tents are, of camping. As a family, we used to camp a lot while the children were small. We had a 5-berth ridge tent, which we all bundled into. And for us, camping meant rain. So much so that when the farmer whose house we lived in wanted rain for his crops, he would ask us to go away on holiday. And our children's memory of family camping holidays was that as soon as they woke up, they would hear the words, "Don't touch the sides." Because if they did, it made the wet come through to the inside of the tent. The very first family camping holiday we went on was August Bank Holiday weekend in 1982, which was the weekend Hurricane Charlie hit. And some of you will be old enough to remember that. My husband and I were up and down in the night pegging and re-pegging the tent down with bigger and stronger tent pegs. And in the morning, when we emerged from our little tent, the camping field, which had been chock-a-block with tents the night before, was completely empty. And I often wonder if everyone else blew away in the night or whether they just sensibly packed up and went home. Because the weather was always so atrocious whenever we went camping, I always thought it was good to get back home, get back to normality, where we felt safe and secure, and a place that was warm and dry. Camping was certainly an adventure, but only one I wanted for a short while. I think that camping with Jesus is intended to be much more of an ongoing adventure, not going back to the place where we came from, but moving on to discover new places and new experiences. In Genesis 12, we read how God called Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And Abraham went. He set off from his home in Haran and travelled with his family, his servants, and his livestock. And he began a journey of moving them on from place to place with his tents. No going back. An adventure following where God was leading. Although if you know the story, you will realise that sometimes he took his own little detours. And we are all inclined to do that as well at times. Many years later, the Israelite nation spent 40 years camping in the desert, following God's leading. The pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night. 40 years camping with Jesus before they could enter the promised land. Learning to trust him and depend on him to guide them and to provide all their needs. It took them a long time. I wonder how long it takes us. And so we come to these verses from Isaiah, a book of prophecies written over a period of 40 years. And I think there's something very amazing about prophecy because it has many layers. Prophets like Isaiah spoke to the future. They spoke of what would happen one day. But when we read them now, we can see that some of these things have already happened. Some have taken place. Isaiah spoke of the coming king, the Messiah. And those prophecies, of course, have already been fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. But Isaiah also pointed to a coming king, a second coming, and the fulfilment of God's plans and purposes. David Pawson describes this as looking at two peaks in a mountain range, which from a distance seem very close together. But as you approach them, you realise that they are actually spaced very far apart. Prophecies also spoke directly to the age in which they were given, revealing how God viewed the current situation, seeing it through his eyes. And they also speak to us today, in the now and the not yet. God's word is amazing like that, how he speaks to generation after generation, and yet it's still relevant for us today, because God's word is alive and active. So these verses that we've looked at today speak to us now, and I believe they are very pertinent for us in the context of today, as we go through this global pandemic and as we come out of lockdown and begin to feel our way forward in the direction that God is leading. We are in effect camping out with Jesus between those two mountain peaks. And these verses speak into the phrase, wider doors and deeper wells, which we have been considering as a church over recent weeks. I'd like to underline that the verse in the Isaiah passage says, enlarge the place of your tent. It doesn't say enlarge your tent, because this isn't about making the tent bigger. It's not about getting more people into the tent. It's more about the place where people can connect to Jesus. How do we understand that word tent? Maybe tent is home, perhaps a temporary residence, but home nonetheless. And home, as we've heard in previous weeks, is where the heart is. And the tent could also be the temple, a place of worship. But Paul, in his letters, says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are the place where God resides. So spread out the place where we worship. Stretch the curtains wide. This is about going wider. We need wide doors. When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, giving us and every single person access to the Father. Let's open the curtains wide, be really inclusive and welcoming by removing barriers, whatever they may be, and remembering that for some people, the barrier is the tent itself. The barrier is the church. One of my fellow students tells of how he was on duty outside a church that had just opened up for private prayer in a city centre. And his role was to direct people in and explain the new procedures. And he got talking to two men who were walking past and who expressed their desire to go into the church. But sadly, they explained that was not allowed because they are gay and gays are banned from churches. How dreadfully sad that those two should feel that they were unwelcome to come before the throne of the Father who loves them. But they did go in and they were made welcome and they are going back and they've signed up for an Alpha course. And we may need to be prepared to take the church out into the community more than expect the community to come into the church. The passage says, do not hold back, do not be afraid, do not fear disgrace. Why? Because the Holy One of Israel, the Creator, is your husband, the one who loves you. He is your Redeemer, the God of all the earth. He is the one we can trust. And the passage is also about going deeper, not just wider, but deeper. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You see, without strong roots and without good foundations, without a deep dependency on God, the quality of the open doors becomes poorer. So drill down deep into what God has for you. Grow in your knowledge and love for Him. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This takes work. It takes effort on our part. Just as it took effort and determination for Chris and I to keep on hammering those tent pegs in the hurricane. But we didn't blow away in the storm. Our tent held fast. And we too need to hold fast as we step into the new things that Jesus is leading us into. As we step out into the new adventures with Him. Sometimes these things seem really difficult. How can we do this? How do we go deeper? Well, firstly, I believe we do it by spending time with Jesus, spending time in prayer, in the Word, in stillness, listening for His voice, developing and continue to develop those sustainable rhythms of life, which you may have begun to do in recent days. And as our love for Him grows, so will our love for others. It's only by truly loving others can we be changed and our hearts enlarged, like the place of our tent. As we come to recognise how wide and deep is Jesus' love for us, then we will begin to extend that depth and breadth to that which flows from the place where we are, in this community, to one another and to those around us, to all who are loved with that same unwavering, everlasting and sacrificial love. Camping out with Jesus is not just about reaching a destination, but it's about enjoying every place you pitch your tent, because you are there with Him. Having Jesus in the tent is a bit like having Him in the boat. He stills the storms and sustains and carries us through the difficult days. He walks with us through the desert places, and he sits with us around the campfire, and he welcomes others to join us there. So, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch the curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. And may God bless you as you do it. Amen.
Thank you, Diana. I really appreciate your words and thank you for sharing so candidly with us this morning and building on that theme that we started to talk about as a church. Thank you so much. We appreciate your teaching and your guidance at this time. We're going to close our time together, and Sarah's going to lead us as we draw our service to a close. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for leading us in that piece of worship. So thank you very much. We're going to draw our service to a close. There's a few prayer requests. I'm just going to pray for a whole church, and then I'll mention the few of the prayer requests that came through. And then we're going to close by saying the blessing together. Lord God, we pray for our church. I thank you for all the little conversations, the doorstep visits and the doorstep presence, all the caring and compassion and love that we show each other as church. I pray you'd sustain those who are struggling, and I pray that you would embolden those who have energy. Help us to care and be compassionate and generous with each other. Lord God, we pray for those who are struggling at this time with mental health issues. Pray for those who are finding it difficult to get help and support. I pray that your peace that passes all understanding would speak into their lives. Pray especially for those who are shielding and been so long without connecting with others. And Lord God, we remember the Bishop of Vellore, a connection that we have through Penny, whose wife is in hospital with COVID. We pray for the country of India, aware of how this pandemic affects different countries in different ways. But Lord God, I pray that you would comfort and guide. We pray for our young families, those homeschooling who have gone from homeschooling to holidays. I pray that there would be energy and grace enough to love their children and make the most of the limited opportunities that they might have. Lord God, bless our church. And it's our custom as we, if we're in the church, to say the grace together. So I wonder if you feel comfortable to say the words as they appear on the screen this morning. So let's say together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. I look forward to being here again next week. Take care. God bless.